ESPN1067.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this May 13th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. A nice day in the Auburn Opelika area. It ain't raining, so I'm happy. That's all I can say. We got a lot to get to on the show today. We'll go through a full rundown here momentarily, but in the studio with me, as he is every single day in the studio, my man Christian Griffin. How are you, sir? Happy Tuesday to you.
Happy Tuesday. Yeah, really excited for the rundown and everything we got going on here. A little bit scrambled, but here, now we're getting everything worked out here. We're all good to go, man. We got a lot of football talk in there. Look, some opening weekend times have been released, some of these big-time games that we're going to talk about for opening weekend, and also a look around SEC baseball as well with our weekly Auburn baseball interview, some of these MLB and Braves updates, some other news outside of that side as well, and a big-time weekend coming up onto the plains. Hasn't necessarily been promoted, but Hugh Freeze and the staff have a bunch of guys coming to the plains this weekend. Really excited to dive into all of that here today.
Well, a lot going on, and we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit. You can shoot us a text if you would like, 334-78 84-1067. Anything that's on your mind, you want to chime in on the conversation, shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. Again, we'll open up the phone lines. Probably in hour number two will be the best time for you to call in and be a part of the show. And we mentioned that we were going to have another baseball interview today. We've had an Auburn interview every single week this season. Shout out George Nunnally, Auburn baseball SID. He has really hooked us up and taken care of us this year and got another great one for you today. We previewed it yesterday, kind of teased it on the way out, saying that this guy had some SEC accolades. How about Player of the Week for Mr. Eric Guevara? He's going to join us coming up at 2:30, so really excited. I had a chance to sit down and talk with him earlier this morning and talk about his incredible weekend, historic weekend against South Carolina, preview Jack State tonight, and then Ole Miss coming up this weekend. So that will be at 2:30, and I mean, we've got stuff for every single segment. Something different, it seems like, and probably impossible for us to get through it all, but we're going to try, and it starts off with a banger, because how about this, ladies and gentlemen? College football season is closer than you think. It's like a rearview mirror, right? Objects are closer than they appear, and college football season, I promise you, is closer than you think.
102 days until week zero.
Yes.
102 days until week zero of Kansas State and Iowa State in Dublin, Ireland.
109 days until August 30th, that Saturday, when most of college football kicks off. But remember, we're 108 days from Auburn football, because they get started on that Friday night. Have you accepted that idea yet? Have you accepted that Auburn's going to be playing on the Friday night and not on the Saturday with everybody else? I mean, for me, there's pros and cons there. I mean, initially, I was upset about it. Initially, I was like, oh, come on, what are we doing? But you're the standalone game on a Friday night. You may have a different opinion on this than I do. Yeah. I know where you're going in just a second. But you're the standalone game on a Friday night. Then on all day Saturday, there's no stress, there's no worry. You can genuinely enjoy week one of college football on that Saturday without having to worry about Auburn. So I think I've somewhat accepted it. But, you know, it is what it is. But I know you may be a little bit more upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's two big games on Friday, Auburn and Baylor, Georgia Tech and Colorado. in there as well.
Oh, okay.
And over on AU 100.3 FM, the Lee Scott Warriors will also be taking place right around 7:30. And I'm sure that the Auburn-Baylor game will kick off right at 7:30 as well. So
look,
if you've never listened,
you and Angie just trade text scores back and forth.
There
and
you
guys
go.
Will help promote each other.
Yeah, if you've never listened to a Lee Scott game and you wonder why I'm not completely there, it might be because there's a game being watched. No, I'm just kidding. It'll be fun. We're ready for high school football in there as well. But again, the very first thought was gross. Of course, they move Auburn to the Friday night game just because, again, there's so much going on Saturday. That being said, how awesome of a weekend will it be? Not hopefully will it be when Auburn gets a win on Friday night, and then you can go through and watch some of these games we're about to talk about because some of the times have been released. Some not quite there yet, but man, you win on Friday night. You get to sit there and watch Saturday and Sunday and Monday football games without a care in the world.
Yeah, I'm a little bit better and a little bit on a brighter note about it just because for Auburn High, we actually played that Thursday night. We're making the trip up to Vestavia Hills. That's going to be on August 28th. That's a Thursday. Then Auburn University plays on Friday, then the rest of week one, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So I feel a little bit better about it, but I don't love the idea of playing on a Friday night for college football. But as you and I have talked about, Auburn's going to be on the biggest stage. Auburn will be the game that night. The entire country will be watching this matchup and the others that we're about to talk about, but just another reason why Auburn has to be ready to play that game on August 29th, on that Friday. Auburn has to be prepared and must execute, I'm not going to say to perfection because it's week one, but you better play some good ball because you're going up against a really good Baylor team where Walker White has already claimed that they're going to beat you on that Friday night are the Baylor Bears, and the entire country is going to be watching while you do so.
While you look at it right now, I don't know exactly how everything gets thrown into some sort of numbers, and I'm sure that week zero and week one is when some of these sports books for entertainment purposes only lose a lot of their money just simply because you're having to predict what all of these transfers are going to look like. But as it stands right now, the total of this game is 56.5. So you're expecting a decent amount of points to be scored. Auburn is favored -125 on the money line. Baylor only +105. So they're not expecting this to simply be heavily favored one way or the other. And Auburn currently sits as a 1.5-point favorite in Waco on Friday night.
Do you expect that to change by the time kickoff happens on that Friday night? We don't have an official time. I'm sure it's going to be 6:30, 7 o'clock, somewhere around there that Friday night. Do you expect that line to move in either direction by the time we get there? There's still 108 days for that betting line to move. Do you expect it to change by the time foot hits leather?
I wouldn't be surprised if it did, and I wouldn't be surprised if it favored more towards the Auburn line a little bit.
Really?
Just simply because of something that we talked about a little bit yesterday of ESPN and the national media beginning to catch on of what this Auburn team is supposed to look like, right? And I feel like the closer that you get to it, and because I'm sure that the average person that likes college football doesn't already know Auburn and Baylor are now on a Friday night instead of a Saturday, there's going to be a lot of money thrown on the Friday night games because it's going to introduce you to that Saturday. So I'd expect there to be a lot more money thrown onto this game probably 2-3 weeks prior to the game, and especially the week leading up to it. And I just feel like a lot more people would be willing to throw a little bit more on Auburn's side where I could see it jump up to 2 or 3.
Okay. That's actually a really good point, and I'll give you that. And
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know. I just feel like people may jump on the home team, right? Opener at home. It's under the lights. It's Friday night. I mean, it's...
Will it be under the lights if Colorado is hosting Georgia Tech, too? They'd throw Auburn at, like, the 4:30 game.
On a Friday?
Just because, so that way Dion can have the lights on ESPN at the 8 o'clock start.
Man, is that what other game is happening that night?
That's the other halfway decent game, yeah.
Oh, and we don't have a kickoff time for that yet, do we?
No. I mean, it'll probably be Auburn and Baylor at 6:30 on ABC or something, and then Georgia Tech and Colorado will get the 8 o'clock ESPN game.
Yeah, one will be on one channel, one will be on the other. I mean, you do have some good week zero games that will lead into these types of games. I mean, yeah. Kansas State, Iowa State is in there for the considered week zero, right, the Saturday before. This is August 23rd. You have Stanford and Hawaii. I don't know how exciting that is, but it's football. Kansas State, Iowa State, I think is awesome. That's the Dublin, Ireland game where they're going to be playing over there. And I mean, this is a really cool experience, right? I mean, this is a big-time matchup to start the season, conference game to start play. This may be a dumb question. I haven't looked into it. This is counting as a conference game, even though it's happening in Ireland, right? This is not one of these basketball situations where you play in an early – or a baseball situation, right? Ole Miss, Mississippi State played earlier this year for baseball, and it didn't count against that. I would assume that. I mean, we've seen teams open up conference games before. I would assume so. You got Fresno State and Kansas, Sam Houston and Western Kentucky. You move into what is then considered week one. You have, how about this, Nebraska and Cincinnati on Thursday night. That game being played at Arrowhead on a Thursday night. Those are also two Big 12 opponents. Well, never mind. Nebraska's Big 10. Cincinnati's Big 12. It's Power 5 game, though. Yeah. Power 4 game. That's old school. Well, you can't even say old school because Cincinnati was a group of five for so long. Power 5 game to start the season on a Thursday. That's a fun game, though, in Arrowhead on Thursday, August 28th.
Yeah, East Carolina, NC State also in there as well. NC State's supposed to have a little bit of hype moving towards their side of things. And again, just it's one of those games that you'll watch it because it's on. You're not necessarily going to clear out the entire calendar, except for maybe the entire weekend, but you'll happily throw those two games on simply because, well, welcome to college football.
Boise State, South Florida on that Thursday night as well. That's going to be down in Tampa, so that's at Raymond James Stadium there. So decent games on that Thursday. Then, as we mentioned, Auburn and Baylor will be that Friday. Georgia Tech, Colorado will be on that Friday as well.
Hootie who.
That's right. They're going to be on the air as well. And then the reason we bring all of this up is because we have some official kickoff times for week one of the college football season starting on Saturday, August 30th.
Before that, you weren't getting the Hootie Hoo. Kennesaw State plays Wake Forest. All right, boys. Sorry about that. I was trying to give y'all a shout out.
But I wasn't.
No, that's Jacob Goins says that Georgia Tech says Hootie Hoo, and we'll move on from.
You don't know what they say. You can't tell them what they say.
I don't know. Maybe not.
What does Georgia Tech say? Go Jackets?
Yeah. Rambling Wreck? Give them hell, Georgia Tech, baby. Saturday, August 30th.
That's enough Georgia Tech talk.
Tennessee and Syracuse. That is the opening game. That is 11 a.m. on ABC. You then have Alabama at Florida State on 2:30. At 2:30 on ABC. And then LSU and Clemson, the nightcap. That's the 6:30 game under the lights on ABC. The battle of the real Death Valley. Man, that game is going to be a whole lot of fun.
That is going to be incredible. I mean, those are LSU-Clemson's a great game. That's going to be a phenomenal game. That is a game that you will talk about the winner all year long because whatever they do in their conference schedule is great, but they have that as a resume-building win. That is a resume game if you could ever have one in week one of the college football season, and it's LSU at Clemson in South Carolina, that nightcap on Saturday, August 30th.
And that one's a whole lot of fun because those are two premier names that you've known about in college football. If you haven't watched college football after 2016, you would know that these two schools are very, very well known. Tennessee and Syracuse. Again, Tennessee coming off a college football playoff bid this past year. And Syracuse with Fran Brown, an up-and-coming program, could be a whole lot of fun. They don't have Kyle McCord this year, so it'll be interesting to see what they're able to rebuild with. And then Alabama and Florida State, maybe not from the national media, but man, Auburn fans love this matchup simply because it's Alabama taking on Gus Malzahn, who is now the offensive coordinator at Florida State. For those that had not heard the news. And, man, again, Florida State coming off of a brutal year following a great year, but missing out being the fifth team, the first team out of the four-team playoff. You then feel like you can't do anything right this past year. And now you have the chance to go and take game one at home against a team in the SEC that's trying to go and, well, play for their playoff lives with their new head coach.
Yeah, so three games back to back to back. That Tennessee-Syracuse game, just a reminder, that is at Mercedes-Benz. That's in Atlanta, so that's a neutral site game between those two teams. And then, yes, Alabama going to Florida State, and then LSU going to Clemson. So we got those kickoff times today. We also got kickoff times for the two games on Sunday, August 31st, because that's before the NFL season begins. And then on Monday, September 1st, on Sunday, you have South Carolina and Virginia Tech. That game is also being played in Atlanta. I wish it was on campus. That would be incredible. But that game's going to be played in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz. That's 2 o'clock on ESPN on that Sunday afternoon. Then Notre Dame and Miami from the Hard Rock at Sunday Night Football unofficially. Notre Dame visiting Miami at the Hard Rock. The Fighting Irish will have more fans there than the Hurricanes will. 6:30 on ESPN. And then Monday to cap it all off, the opening weekend of college football, TCU and North Carolina, 6:30 on ESPN, Monday, September 1st.
Bill Belichick on a Monday evening in college football, just like the good Lord intended, 6:30 on ESPN. Some of these other great names, there are great games that we've talked about that haven't necessarily had a time released. We mentioned Kansas State and Iowa State, that one kicking off in Dublin, Ireland. Week 1 games Thursday, again, we mentioned East Carolina and NC State, Nebraska and Cincinnati, Auburn and Baylor, Georgia Tech and Colorado on the Friday. And then another Saturday game that'll have to get squeezed in there. When you say the word squeeze, you know it'll get its own primetime spot. Texas and Ohio State. Man, what a battle that this will be. Texas went up to Ann Arbor and beat Michigan early in the year this past year. Now they get to go up to Columbus and try and go 2-for-2 against the big game teams. Texas and Ohio State should be a whole lot of fun as well.
That game is 11 a.m. to start off.
Is it really?
Fox claimed that game. Yep, Fox is going to have that game. They're going to take Ohio State, Texas. It's the big noon kickoff on Fox that day.
I guess that makes sense because that was where the Texas-Michigan was last year as well.
Yep, I think that got reported yesterday, maybe today. But yeah, so that's going to be the big noon kickoff with Syracuse and Tennessee happening at the exact same time. And so I would assume that most people would watch Ohio State, Texas, flip over to Alabama, Florida State, then go to LSU, Clemson on Saturday night. I mean, three awesome games to get the season started on that Saturday. So look, you've got games literally as it has been the past several years now. Week zero, the week before, good games on Thursday, Auburn on Friday, good games on Saturday, two good ones on Sunday, and a game on Monday night. You have five straight days of college football to get week one started come the end of August.
And as we head to break here in week one, Jacob, which one is more likely to happen? Is Toledo more likely to go into another SEC powerhouse like they did with Mississippi State last year and beat Kentucky in week one? Or is Mississippi State more likely to head to Southern Miss and fall? Which SEC team's more likely to fall in week one?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Neither of them have lines yet, and you feel like that's even scarier than if there was a line.
I mean, I do like the Zips of Toledo now. I do. Now, I may be a homer because of where I grew up, but I want to give Kentucky more credit than that. I mean, that just seems disrespectful, but it very well could happen. But the idea of Mississippi State going on the road technically and taking on Southern Miss, you're just asking for disaster, are you not?
Yeah.
You're just asking for this to go wrong. I mean, it's like Ole Miss. Is Ole Miss the one that goes to Tulane? No, they host Tulane this year. Somebody takes a funky road trip this year. We were talking about it the other day. I can't remember exactly who it is. But, I mean, just because of numbers, I'll take Mississippi State to lose on the road at Southern Miss before I would Toledo to go into Kroger Field and get it done against the Wildcats.
Ain't no way the Rockets go 2-for-2 against SEC teams in the next 2 years.
Ain't right? No way Toledo can get it done. We'll see what happens. But some early kickoff times have been announced as college football season just over 100 days away. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. Flip over to some baseball as Christian took all night But he got his numbers figured out. He's got the math completed, folks. What does Auburn need to do this weekend to get a top four seed in Hoover and get a super regional bid? We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. As we flip over to baseball, we're going to have a fun interview coming up for you in just a little bit as Eric Guevara, the SEC Player of the Week, the sophomore superstar for Auburn baseball. We're going to have that interview coming up for you at the bottom of the hour. I talked to him earlier this morning and excited to bring that to you as Auburn gets ready to take on Jack State tonight in the regular season home finale at Plainsman Park. First pitch set for 6 p.m. tonight. You can catch the radio broadcast over on our sister station, Wings 94.3, with pregame set for 5:45. And going into this game tonight, nothing necessarily up for grabs, on the line, anything like that. But it's this weekend that we're starting to look towards, and don't want to overlook a midweek game tonight, but just in terms of what is at stake for the final regular season series in SEC play, which is insane to think about, that the fact that this is already done. I mean, it seems like Auburn was just taking the series against Kentucky last weekend, it seems like. But, Christian, you have your math. You have it completed.
I did not sleep last night. I stayed here in the office the entire night.
After consulting with every mathematician you could find, every engineer you could call, every professor you've ever had, you've got the math worked out for what Auburn could do and what they're looking at heading to Oxford this weekend because of what's already happened around the SEC and the series that are taking place this weekend. Auburn has so much to play for.
They do, yeah. I mean, you're not only playing for a national seat, which Auburn now kind of unanimously is anywhere from 5th to 8th in hosting, or in that national seed, so they would then be set up to host a super regional at Plainsman Park, and how fantastic would that be? How fitting would it be after all of the renovations? Now everybody, now the world of college baseball gets to travel to Plainsman Park and watch that game. It would be so, so fun, but you're also competing for a top four spot in Hoover, Alabama, because if that's the case, if you get the double bye, you don't play until Friday. Then you would play Friday, if Saturday, and if Sunday for the championship. Well, that gives you a perfectly normal rotation. That gives you a normal week to set up to get ready for it. And obviously Hoover not being too far away from Auburn gives them a little bit more time that they can spend here on the plains in preparation. What has to happen for Auburn to get that top four, that double bye? Texas is out of the picture. They could still get swept, and they would be perfectly fine, at least from the standpoint of dropping out. Arkansas is 18-9. LSU is 17-10. You then have three that are tied for fourth at 16-11. Vanderbilt is technically in that four spot right now, but they've all just beaten each other up. Vanderbilt, Georgia, and Auburn. Vanderbilt swept Georgia. Georgia swept Auburn. Auburn won the series against Vanderbilt, but because of those two teams, Auburn is 2-4. Georgia is 3-3, and Vanderbilt is a little bit better because, again, you took that one game. You are 4-2. So you technically have the winning right now over those three teams that are 16-11. Tennessee and Alabama are both 15-12. Those are the biggest ones that you have to worry about if you are the Auburn Tigers. If Auburn wins one, you are 17-13. This is what you need, two of these things to happen. Kentucky must win 2 of 3 against Vanderbilt. USC, South Carolina must sweep LSU, and Texas A&M must sweep at Georgia. At least one of those, if not most likely two of those, would have to happen. And the two teams that are below you, you cannot have Tennessee win 2 of 3 against Arkansas, and Alabama cannot sweep Florida.
All of that if you only win one game this
weekend.
If you
win one, you essentially need four of those things that I just read to happen.
A very tall mountain to climb.
Very, very tall. Then you look on the other side of this note card that I spent all of 23 and a half hours working on, most likely like 5 minutes in between the with the Hillman interview, but that's okay.
They don't know that.
As I say, if you didn't hear me at all during the interview, it's fine. If Auburn wins two, you are 18 and 12, so what do you need? Well, the list is a whole lot shorter. You need Kentucky to win one against Vanderbilt, and you need Georgia to only win one against Texas A&M. And you only need one of those to happen.
That's it. That is the difference. The astronomical difference between if Auburn just wins one this weekend against Ole Miss or if you win two against Ole Miss this weekend. And all of this is to get a top four seed in Hoover, which we've had the discussions of. Yes, it's a big deal, but the fact of the matter is you went two this weekend, and realistically for Auburn, what happens in Hoover doesn't really matter.
No.
Because you would already have a regional host locked up and most likely a top eight national seed, a.k.a. a super regional host locked up. And
yeah.
So at that point, you've talked about this, you would just be playing to stay in your routine, to
yes.
stay in the cycle of pitching and hitting and warming up and training and traveling and doing all of that. But you're not going there with your life on the line. You can't really gain a whole lot. I guess you could. Yes, you could move up a seed line, but you're not going to lose a whole lot either to where if you don't win at all in Hoover, it's not that big of a deal.
No, but the biggest thing is you're trying to not play, which Auburn won't do. But if you play on that Wednesday and you're still playing in a regional, you wouldn't play until that following Friday. Look at the college football playoff as an example. All four of those teams that did not play in the first week lost. It's simply coming down to you will treat Hoover like a normal weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and live with whatever result you can. But Auburn, big chance in front of them here this weekend.
Got to win too in Oxford, and you control your own destiny in terms of big things for Auburn baseball. And speaking of them, how about we talk to the SEC Player of the Week? Eric Guevara from Auburn Baseball joins us next.
Are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader, and we continue our weekly talks with Auburn baseball representatives, players, coaches, and most importantly this week, we've got the SEC Player of the Week joining us here on ESPN 106.7. Auburn's baseball sophomore infielder Eric Guevara joins us here on 106.7. My man, we appreciate you hopping on with us, and seems like you're a popular person this week, Mr. SEC Player of the Week.
Yeah, it seems like that's the case this week. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Well, there's so much to talk about with you and this team and what's happened up to this point, and of course, what is a busy week for you guys on the diamond. And so excited to jump into this. But man, SEC Player of the Week for what you did against South Carolina, where you went 12 of 15, scored 7 runs on 2 doubles, a triple, 2 homers, and brought in 9 RBIs as well. I mean, walk us through what you were seeing this weekend at the plate, because clearly you were hitting beach balls while everybody else was hitting golf balls.
The weekend was special for sure. I guess the ball looked a little bigger than usual, you know. But yeah, it was fun to play, and you know, just a great weekend overall for the guys, you know. Being able to get those 3 wins and everybody playing, you know, really good, you know, it was just a great weekend for us.
What was it in terms of, I guess, your mindset at the plate, or was it something you saw in the South Carolina pitchers, or was it just kind of a combination? What was going through your mind over those 3 games?
Well, I just kind of told myself to be a little bit more aggressive for past weekends. Like not be late on the fastball, you know, being able to just react to anything else. And I think it worked pretty well, you know. I think that it paid off, you know, just being a little bit more aggressive. And I think the combination of, you know, just doing that and I guess being able to see the ball really good paid off really well.
Well, you led the league in batting average this weekend with hitting 8 800. Yes, that's right, folks. 800 this weekend for Mr. Eric Guevara. Had 22 total bases. Your on-base percentage, your OBP was 813, and you were in there with Steele and Rembert in terms of your runs and your slugging percentage. I mean, it truly was an historic performance for you and the entire team. I mean, that's got to be fun when not just yourself, but everybody on this team was hitting like they did this past weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a blast. It was a blast. Like, all three games, you know, the guys in front of me, the guys behind me having great bats, like, leaning up to my bat, like, them having good bats make it easier for me to hit because they give me better pitches to hit and stuff like that. So, you know, it was an overall, like, team contribution for, like, each other's success because we were giving each other, we were all having good bats, which makes it, like, harder for the pitchers to pitch to the next guy that's behind you. So I think it's just we made it easier on ourselves, you know, to, you know, get pitches to hit and whatnot.
Well, 46 runs as a team in a three-game set. That's pretty remarkable. Have you ever been a part of a weekend series like that in any level of your baseball career? Have you ever been a part of an offensive explosion like that?
I don't think I have. I think this is a first for me, you know, and, you know, I hope we can do it again, you know. But yeah, it was an amazing weekend. Like I said, you know, everything came together and all the bats came together, and what a fun weekend.
And you got to do it at home too, which I know was really cool at Plainsman Park. I know it was a little untraditional with the weather and having to play two on Friday and all the moving around, and hey, a walk-off winner on Friday as well. I mean, it was a really fun weekend at Plainsman Park for the fans, and I'm sure it was for you guys in that dugout too.
No, yeah, like you said, it made it even more special that we did it at home, you know, with all the fans. Of course, you know, we had the rain, but they showed up on Friday for the doubleheader, so and Thursday, so just, you know, super happy that we were able to do it at home, and, you know, hope to carry on with it tonight and, of course, over the weekend when we go to Ole Miss.
Talking with Eric Guevara of Auburn Baseball here on ESPN 106.7, SEC Player of the Week. Because of his offensive performance, yes, but also a perfect fielding percentage over there at the hot corner, so not too bad for you, my friend, playing in the field as well. And the stats have been put out there. And I'm sure you've seen it at this point. You raised your season batting average from .285 this weekend to .330 on the season. .285 to .330 with just one weekend of play. That's got to be a record somewhere, Eric. I don't know if it is or not officially, but that's got to be a record somehow. That's an incredible jump.
Yeah, that's thank you. That's got to be something, right?
I think so, yeah.
No, but yeah, it was, you know, it was just an unbelievable weekend, honestly. Everything was falling, you know, even like the bunts and everything, they ended up being hits and stuff. So yeah, it was just a really, really good overall weekend for me and for the guys. So yeah, I'm super happy for it. Super proud of the team and the job that we've been doing. So yeah.
Well, there's now three SEC series wins in a row for you and your squad for Auburn Baseball, taking 2 of 3 against Mississippi State, taking 2 of 3 against Tennessee, and then, of course, sweeping South Carolina this weekend. And now you look at what you guys have done up to this point, 36-15 on the season, 16-11 in conference play in the Southeastern Conference, which is just a remarkable performance up to this point. I mean, conversations are starting to fly around about hosting a regional, possibly a super if you get that far, but I know there's still things in front of you. What's it been like up to this point in the season with the success you guys have had?
It's been fun. Like, we just go out there and have fun, you know, play as a team, play together, you know, play for the guy right next to you, you know. And yeah, you know, we keep it one game at a time, one play at a time, one out at a time. Cause you know, we never look ahead. We always try to stay in the game we have, you know, we're looking at the game tonight, you know, that's what we have and that's what's in front of us. And that's what we're going to go get.
Well, I feel and like you, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And after the game, you know, then we'll look at what's next. But yeah, I think that we've been doing a great job on, you know, just staying on our feet and, you know, playing the game, playing the outs, playing the innings, and just taking it one at a time.
Well, I think you guys have done an incredible job with that. And I was going to say, I feel like you have a unique perspective on this team, because we've talked to a lot of guys throughout this season here on ESPN, and we've talked to a lot of those freshmen on this squad, whether it's the offensive guys or the pitching staff. And we've talked to some of the older guys as well who have been around for a couple of years. But as a sophomore for you, you're kind of there in the middle. I mean, what's the chemistry of this team been like? And I've asked everybody this question, and it seems to be such a fascinating topic of just what this team's chemistry is like on the field, on the bus, in the hotel, or at dinner, whatever the case may be. What's the chemistry been like for this team up to this point this season?
Yeah, it's been great, dude. Like we're always laughing, we're always making jokes, like whether we're like on the field, off the field, you know, we're always trying to have fun with each other. I think we've all been getting closer and closer and closer, you know, from the fall to now. So it's just been a great, great, great year with everyone, you know, just getting closer with everyone. Even like for me, like the guys that I was with for last year, just getting closer with them. And then obviously meeting the new guys, it's just been a blast, and it's been a great ride so far.
Well, as you've mentioned, Auburn playing Jack State tonight. That'll be the home regular season finale at Plainsman Park. Fans can listen to that game if you are unable to make it over to Plainsman Park. That game will be broadcasted here locally on Wings 94.3 over on our sister station. First pitch set for 6 o'clock with pregame beginning at 5:45. And then you guys head to Oxford for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Hopefully it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Seems like you guys haven't played a traditional series in a month now because of all the weather, but that's going to be a lot of fun to make that trip to Oxford. What can you tell us about Jack State tonight, and then what Ole Miss will have for you this weekend?
Yeah, so Jack State, you know, we played them already. Pretty solid squad, you know. We're just going to have to stick to our game plan and, you know, be in this ourselves, and I think we should be in a good position. Then after tonight, we'll look up into Ole Miss. You know, we'll look into, you know, what they have going on, their pitchers and whatnot. Of course, the pitchers are going to look at the hitters and stuff. So, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good series too. You know, it's going to be a competitive series like it is every weekend on the SEC. And, you know, we're ready to take it on and compete over there.
I believe the freshman righty Andreas Alvarez is going to get the start tonight for Auburn against Jack State. And look, the offense has been incredible for you guys and this Auburn baseball team. But when your pitchers go out there and do what they've been doing, whether it's the starters like Dutton or Tilly, or it is these midweek guys like Alvarez, or you've got Hetzler in there and Armstrong and all those guys in the pen, I mean, it helps the offense, or at least gives you some support when the pitching staff is doing what they're doing, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, baseball is just extremely hard sport. So, you know, we don't always hit the best. And, you know, when we don't, the pitchers seem to always be there for us and, you know, give us that support for those, you know, those low scoring games. And I think that, you know, it's been like a great combination of both so far this season. And they've been helping us. We've been helping them. And, you know, I think that's what making a great team.
What has been your favorite part this year of playing on this particular Auburn team? I mean, the wins have been great. You guys have traveled and made some incredible trips in the SEC. You went to Arlington and got to play some big non-conference games there as well. But what's been your favorite part, as we're talking with Eric Guevara of Auburn Baseball, what's been your favorite part about this year's team so far, my man?
I think that, you know, maybe like the, like, outside of the field stuff, like when we get on the bus to go on a road trip, when we get to the hotel and stuff, just hanging out with the guys and stuff like that, having fun and, you know, just having conversations with guys, you know, stuff like that. It's what makes it, you know, more of a brotherhood, you know, having more of a connection with them and stuff. So, yeah, I think that's for sure, like, one of my favorite things, that we actually get to be with each other, like, a long time. And obviously, we play together, but outside of the field, we also hang out a lot and stuff. So that's great.
And you get to play for one of the best coaches in all of college baseball, Butch Thompson, which I know is just such an incredible honor. We've had a chance to speak with him a few times here on the show. I mean, he's one of the best in the business, and I'm sure you guys see that day in and day out.
Yeah. He is the best in the business, you know. He's such a great leader. You know, he's always have our backs for anything we need, and, you know, whenever he needs to say something, he always, you know, make sure he says it in the right time. And it's you know, it's just such, it's such a great leader, such a good communicator and everything.
Well, we appreciate everything that Auburn baseball has done for us, hopping on with us this year, and we hope to continue that for many more weeks. And we've been happy to talk with the SEC Player of the Week, Eric Guevara, here on ESPN 106.7. Congratulations to you, my man. That's a huge honor. Again, SEC Player of the Week for your 800 batting average performance this weekend against South Carolina, raising that BA up a bunch. And you and the guys had an incredible weekend, sweeping South Carolina. Back in action. Action tonight is Auburn baseball against Jack State. Again, 6 o'clock first pitch at Plainsman Park or on Wings 94.3. And then this weekend at Ole Miss, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So good luck tonight. Good luck this weekend and safe travels to and from Oxford, okay?
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Hey, War Eagle.
War Eagle.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Eric Guevara from Auburn Baseball, SEC Player of the Week. And we learned in the middle of that interview just now, a couple of minutes ago, he's also your National Player of the Week, is Mr. Eric Guevara, thanks to Perfect Game. And so congratulations to him on SEC Player of the Week and now National Player of the Week. That's big-time honors for him as Auburn gets ready to take on Jacksonville State tonight.
Yeah, I mean, hitting 800 in a game when you go 4-for-5 feels like you have bring a lot of confidence to the plate, much less in a weekend where we were able to talk about it yesterday, where this team hit, oh gosh, what was it? It was 451. This past weekend, I mean, it's absolutely insane to see the individual success from Guevara, but you had so many other guys that hit 600, 400. Ike Irish brought up the rear hitting like 430. I mean, come on, man. What are we doing? But
he
an
sucks.
Absolutely fantastic weekend individually and for the Auburn Tigers in general. And now you have a chance that we've talked about, a very, very big chance to go to Oxford, get at least one. If you can get two, you put yourself in a prime opportunity to get a double bye, and that almost guarantees you a national seed, where if you can take care of business in the regional, Auburn and Plainsman Park will be hosting a super regional.
Yeah, looking forward to what Auburn does tonight at Jack State and then this weekend in Oxford. We'll talk more about that as the week goes on. But we got a couple of minutes here. Wanted to dive into some MLB updates and standings and scores and things like that and storylines around Major League Baseball. And a big one that came out today was that Paul Skenes committed to play for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. And for those who are kind of unfamiliar with what that is, it's really, really neat. It's like how a lot of people got into the Four Nations this year for hockey.
Sure.
It's the same idea for baseball, where you get the best in the world representing a certain amount of countries, and the USA obviously competes in it. And we'll be honest, I mean, they're sometimes behind in talent just because of how good there are players from outside of the United States. But the fact that you have the greatest pitcher in the game right now who said, yeah, I'm in for the WBC, that's big time news.
It is. It's very, very big. Yeah, you feel like between the United States, Cuba, the Dominican Republic is always in there as well. It will be a very, very fun. It's a fantastic event simply because you get to see so much national pride for your country, and you're playing for so much more. I mean, some of the best baseball highlights and best baseball moments are from the World Baseball Classic. I mean, the videos of Manny Machado getting robbed of the home run and everybody just losing their mind in Petco Park because, ironically, you were wanting Manny Machado to get out at that point. I mean, so many fantastic moments. I mean, you go back to, was it Shohei Ohtani striking out Freddie Freeman to end the entire thing this past year? I mean, it's a fantastic event. It feels like there's so much more than just baseball that you're playing for.
And Paul Skenes, again, announcing and confirming that he's going to be pitching for Team USA. And it's that conversation of should pro big-time athletes compete in things that are not just their team sport, right? Where should Paul Skenes pitch for somebody else other than the Pirates? Should LeBron James do the dunk contest? Should any, you know what I mean? Like, should guys play and compete in things outside of just their team responsibilities? I always say yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Always say yes. And, yeah, there's the risk of injury or, you know, wear and tear or whatever, but it's like, okay, but this is good for the sport. This is great for baseball, not just MLB. This right here is good for baseball.
And that's what is, as much as it hurts me to say, it's what's needed for the game because, yeah. I mean, baseball, as everybody knows, is continuing to die down in popularity. You're having these players that are still kind of reviving it. And Paul Skenes, you know, you see so much flash, so much flair of the guys at the plate. You're now beginning to see that work its way onto the mound with popularity. Again, Paul Skenes doesn't have the flash or the flair except for his 104-mile-an-hour fastballs. But somebody like that is somebody that sells tickets, somebody that gets people in the door, and then you see the flame throw up with every single time the velocity is shown on the big screen. That's what's going to get people in the door. Now you bring it in for the World Baseball Classic, where so many teams are bringing essentially the all-stars of their countries to go and represent and wear those jerseys. It's really, really cool. I mean, it's fantastic to see. Other news, the Braves, we've talked about it for a couple of weeks now. The Braves now have a chance. Every time we've brought it up, they haven't been able to do it. So if you're entertaining the Reds tonight, it feels like just because we brought it up, the Nationals, not a bad chance to go ahead and do it. They're 20-21, a walk-off winner last night. Verdugo in the bottom of the ninth inning. And fantastic news for all Braves fans. Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yep.
Started his rehab assignment, or starts it tonight. And so fantastic news. You hope that he is ready for the series in late May, but it's fantastic news to get the MVP back on your team.
Don't look now. Boston Red Sox are still a game above 500. I just want people to know. They're only 3 games back of the Yankees up in the AL East. I'm just saying. The Red Sox aren't good. They are the definition of a 500 team, but everybody else around them is not great either, and they very well could punch their ticket to a postseason berth.
How they play out last night?
They play again tonight, so we're good.
Perfect.
I don't know. I just happened to miss last night's game.
I didn't see
that they got beat by a lot to a little.
That's
so
yeah.
NL West continues to be dominant. The Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants, and the Diamondbacks are all above 500. 4 of the 5 teams in that division are above 500 several games.
What about the fifth?
Positive. It's looking up for the Rockies. They just fired our boy, so, you know.
Hey, they're 1-9 in the last 10 games.
Only up from here, man. 7-34, they're on pace for the worst record in baseball by a million. So, you know, again, only up from there in Colorado. Drink you a beer and enjoy the game. We may or may not do that when we come back for hour 2. We won't. We'll get in trouble for that. Hour number 2 is coming up here on ESPN 106.7. Stick around.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number 2 during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. Across from me is Christian Griffin. If you missed any of the first 60 minutes of today's show, lucky for you, you'll be able to catch up with the podcast version of the show. We take the audio, put it on our station website for you each and every day. You can find that at ESPNAU.com. In hour number 1, we talked about some of the opening weekend games in college football. We've got some kickoff times now available for the games on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Also talked a little bit more about our feelings with Auburn being on Friday night, right against Baylor on August 29th. And so had a lot of fun talking about those games. Plus, We discussed a little Auburn baseball as Butch Thompson and the boys get ready to take on Jacksonville State tonight. That's over at Plainsman Park at 6 o'clock. And then we got to talk to the SEC Player of the Week and now National Player of the Week, Eric Guevara, joined us on the show. Talked to him a little bit earlier this morning. Got a chance to recap the weekend that he had, historical weekend that he had, and really, really fun to talk with him. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, again, you can go back and listen to it. Highly recommend you do so. And by doing that, on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here in hour number two, going to kick it back off with a little bit of Auburn football as Auburn is hosting a big-time weekend on the plains on the recruiting side of things. It's been a little bit since we've been able to talk about an Auburn football commit. Hopefully that can change this upcoming weekend. But again, you feel like you haven't really heard too much about it, but we're going to fill you in with a bunch of these names that are making their way to the Plains this weekend. Also, a little bit of talk on Auburn's offensive line, as an ex-Auburn Tiger had some praise for the offensive line, and maybe one name in particular. Where does he rank them in the SEC based off of all of the offensive lines? Where does Auburn rank, and how important, how crucial could they be? How important are they for Auburn success, both on the offensive side and for the overall record? We're going to talk about both of those things. Also going to talk about the updated NBA draft board. Where are some of these guys for the Auburn Tigers projected to go? Will Tahad Pettiford be returning to the Auburn Tigers? We'll talk about where his status is, some of these dates to know to keep your eye on, maybe keep your alarm set for, and know that if you've seen the name, it's a good thing. If not, it might not be such a good thing. As the NBA draft lottery took place last night. Also, some updates over from the AU club with Auburn's golf regional, man. Simply put, they're dominating, but we'll give you some of those exact numbers as they are wrapping up round number two. They have one final round tomorrow. If they are a top five team, they will head back to Carlsbad, California for the chance to go back to back. But all of that coming up here in hour number two. And before we get into content here in the second hour, we would like to remind you that it's brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them for bringing you the second hour of our show each and every day here on ESPN 106.7. And Jacob Goins, Auburn football, a big-time weekend upcoming on the Plains. The list continues to grow, and now without having Big Cat Weekend, or I guess not having the traditional Big Cat Weekend, as you can't do it in the summer now with the quote-unquote dead periods. I don't really know exactly what that is anymore, but Auburn has already had Big Cat Weekend, but it wasn't necessarily to get the commits. It was basically everybody's unofficial visits to get them to come back. And a bunch of these names are making their return. All of these rankings and stars that we'll dive down here through in just a little bit, they're according to 247 Sports. Again, you can go and look at, and you see three or four different rankings. But some of these big-time names throughout the state of Alabama, throughout the South, and throughout what feels like the entire country are making their way to Auburn, Alabama here this weekend.
And it's only appropriate, I think, if you start with Anthony Jones, who is from Mobile. He's ranked as the second best player in the state of Alabama. He's a four-star edge, but every bit of five-star talent, yeah. I think, when you turn on the film and watch this guy. He's 6'4", 240, coming off the edge. I mean, he is built like an SEC edge player, and again, the second-ranked player in the state of Alabama. He's a top 15 player consensusly in the entire country. I mean, this dude is a stud no matter where you look, and for Auburn to be in it with a guy from this area of the state, my goodness, how long has this been a conversation around the Auburn fan base, around Auburn football, even in our short time in radio? I know the Bill Camerons of the world have talked about this idea for decades, literally, just the fact that Auburn has struggled to recruit in Mobile and consistently get players from down there. You talk about somebody like Anthony Jones, who has offers from every big-name school you can think of. Alabama, Georgia, Arkansas, LSU, Auburn. I mean, anybody that wants him, gave him a scholarship. And wherever he wants to play, he will. But the fact that you get him on campus for whatever this Big Cat 2.0 is this weekend that you want to call it, that's big news for Auburn this weekend.
Yeah, 8 4 stars are listed as of right now. There's also 4 3 stars, a bunch of them on the defensive side of the football, but some other big names to highlight, man. Derek Cooper, the 4-star running back. He's the sixth player in the state of Florida, the second overall ranked running back, the 34th nationally ranked player. He is from Chaminade, Madonna, and that is where Sean Shivers is the running back coach.
Yep.
And Shivers has openly talked about wanting to make a pipeline from that state, from that school, from South Florida, to go and make their way up to the Plains to play for Auburn. And having somebody like Sean Shivers, again, even after the transfer, going to Indiana for a year.
I miss him.
You feel like he's one of those guys that, man, Auburn just absolutely loved.
Auburn
loves Sean Shivers, and Sean Shivers loves Auburn. You can feel that is very much reciprocated. He openly speaks about it. And so being able to get a guy like Derek Cooper on campus, much like if you're able to get him on the Plains and get him to commit and sign with Auburn, you could really see that Chaminade but not a pipeline, much like you're seeing with a couple of these Maryland schools on the defensive side that Durkin is building. You could see someone like that continue to build as well. Some of these other names, Trenton Henderson, a 4-star edge. He is the 3rd ranked player in the state of Florida, the 19th nationally ranked player. He is a 4-star edge. You mentioned Anthony Tank Jones, the 4-star edge. Landon Duckworth, one of those names on the quarterback side of things from Jackson, Alabama, is making his way. You feel like it's between him and Travis Burgess, the Grayson quarterback, of the two names that you've heard Auburn going after in the 2026 class. Vodney Cleveland's a 4-star defensive lineman. Bryce Perry Wright is a 4-star defensive lineman. He's the 8th ranked player in the state of Georgia. He is from my neck of the woods down in, or I guess up, in Buford, Georgia. So maybe I can just work on my Buford pipeline to...
Would you get on that, please?
Yeah, we'd appreciate that. I'll shoot a text.
Make a call,
to,
man.
To Coach App, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing?
Ernest Rankins is also a 4-star defensive lineman. If you can see, I mean, Auburn's trying to load up this defensive front simply because of, you feel like that was possibly a question mark going into this year. And, man, how fun could they be to watch over the next couple of years?
Well, I think it shows just the fact that this is the DJ Durkin effect is what that is. I mean, this is a prime example of what DJ Durkin brings just with his presence, just his name, just his reputation, just his skills as a defensive coordinator. I mean, you just listed off a dozen names and 80% of them are on the defensive side of the football. You can be excited about a running back and a quarterback, and we got a couple of offensive linemen on this list as well, but most of these guys are on the defensive side of the ball. Big boys up front, edge players, defensive linemen, safeties, corners. I mean, they want to play for DJ Durkin.
And they're top 100 players as well.
They're legit dudes. You're not just picking somebody out of the woods. You're going to get the best of the best in the Southeast and across the country.
And we've talked about it. It's something that I've probably sounded like a broken record before, but Auburn's past the point now where you feel like you just have to fill a depth chart. You're past the point of, let's go find somebody that can play that outside linebacker spot. We don't care who it is. We just need to have somebody that can fill in a two deep. You're now at the point where, yeah, you can go after the 14th ranked player in the class, the 19th ranked, the 34th, the 37th, the 47th, 52nd, 77th. And these aren't just numbers. These are the ones that we're looking at. Again, all of these ranking and stars according to 24/7 Sports. But, I mean, these are top dudes in the class that, again, obviously not every single one of them is going to play for the Orange and Blue next year. Yet that being said, you're getting these 4-stars that still have to play their entire senior year. You're getting them on campus early. You're establishing these relationships. And, again, Auburn has done such a good job in the long game to where even if some of these guys don't commit to Auburn their freshman year, oh, the sophomore year, maybe I don't necessarily love where I'm at. Let me go enter the transfer portal. Let me see some of these names. Oh, I remember DJ Durkin. I remember my trip up to the Plains. Let me give them a second look. Not saying that that's the mentality, but again, being able to establish these relationships with some of these kids and their families so early, you make a weekend like this that hasn't necessarily been overly highlighted like a Big Cat usually is or has been in the past. But man, getting some of these big time names even just on campus, now you're at the point right now you're trying to not let them leave.
And here's what's so big about this weekend too: these are official visits.
Yes,
these are OVs. These are not unofficials. These aren't guys just showing up to check out the facility. These are official visits on the resume. Now, we understand that the limitations on that are not what they used to be, where there's no tracker and things like that, but the fact that the difference in an official visit and an unofficial visit is pretty significant. I mean, you can go so much more in depth and talk legitimate, I guess not contracts, but you can
numbers.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. You could talk numbers. You could talk logistics. You can talk serious game in an official visit. And I look at another one on the defensive side of the ball, Christian. I look at Jordan Campbell,
yeah,
a guy who's been committed to Miami since, get this, November of 2023. November of 2023, a year and a half. He's been committed to the University of Miami, and he's making his whatever number trip. I mean, he's been to Auburn several times. He's been here at least two that I've heard of. This may be three, four, or more, who's been committed to Miami. He's a linebacker in the class of 2026. He's a top 100, 150 player, a four-star, one of the best linebackers in the country, top 10 linebacker in America, and he's going to be on another visit to Auburn, where Hugh Freeze, DJ Durkin, and the Tigers have said, oh, that's cool. You've been committed somewhere else? We don't care. Come on. We're going to change that. We're going to do whatever we can to make you flip that commitment. The things that other programs did to Auburn, Auburn is now doing back to those programs. And guess what? It's an eat or be eaten world. That's how recruiting works, man. That's high school recruiting. That's transfer portal. That's coaching changes. It's just how the game is played. So when you see guys like Jordan Campbell who say, yeah, I'd love to come see Auburn again. I want to be a part of whatever this recruiting weekend is that Auburn's putting on, even though I am committed to the U, who cares? This is a big deal. It's significant for Auburn because you feel like you just keep building momentum in recruiting. And I like where you were going too on the idea of you've got talent, you're building for the future, not just for this year, next year, or the following year. You're building for what you hope is the next decade with Hugh Freeze and this coaching staff.
You're also bringing in a couple of three-stars as well. CJ Hester, Brody Jennings, both of those three-star safeties. Jennings is a Michigan commit from Tallahassee, I believe. Dalton Toothman, also Dominic Harris, both of those guys, three-star offensive tackles. And so you're bringing in so many different positions, but the defense right now is where you feel like it's being dominated, at least this weekend. And man, you're just so excited. You talked about the eat or be eaten. There's only one letter that changes in the saying that I'm about to say, but it puts you at such a different perspective. And it's R versus D, the hunter versus the hunted. And Auburn right now is the hunter. It doesn't matter about the commits elsewhere because we know, unfortunately, on the Auburn side of things or just on the college football side of things, what that word committed means. You don't even know what the word signed means half the time anymore. But to be able to go ahead, again, as I mentioned, and pick the guys that you are wanting to get, you are going out and being the aggressor, being the hunter, trying to get guys, whether it's for this year or just building the future, man. You feel like there's so much excitement. And it just goes back to everything we've talked about. There's so much. Recruiting hasn't been the issue. It's time to get them on the field.
We were talking earlier about, and it sparked something with me before we get to break. You were talking and we were discussing the idea of Sean Shivers being the running backs coach down at Chaminade and trying to build a pipeline. Have you seen what Kerryon Johnson's been up to? Former Auburn running back who then, after his short NFL career, unfortunately, he was the running backs coach at UNA at North Alabama, yeah, up in my neck of the woods. He just took a job. He's now the running backs coach at ETSU. He just took that job, which I think is incredible for him. I mean, you're starting to see him. So he's moved up to from what is that, the United Athletic Conference? Is that what UNA is in? To now the SoCon? I mean,
yeah,
slowly moving his way up. And from what I've seen on social media, he's been vocalized and saying good things about Auburn, and you would hope that he would at least have that sort of feeling. And I believe he's returned a couple of times to campus and games, yes, and things like that. So yeah, I thought that was cool. I saw that a while back, that Kerryon is now, yeah, he's now the the running backs coach at ETSU.
Again, the ability to build and establish relationships for kids that are here, trying to come here after their college careers have already started, or coming back after their college careers have ended. That is what Hugh Freeze and this coaching staff have put such an emphasis on. We heard Hudson Cock, again, the Auburn punter, talking about that last Friday, about how he really is such a personable person and wants to establish people in their foundation of being good humans rather than just good football players. And you're really starting to see it take place here over these past couple of years.
A big weekend on the plains for football recruiting, for high school recruiting, for Hugh Freeze and the boys. Hoping to have some great updates for you coming up next week on what happens there. If you get commitments, great. If not, just make some progress. I would expect, just to shoot my shot here, I would expect there to be a commitment this weekend, after this weekend. Do I know who? No, I have no idea. But we can try to predict and make things like that. Auburn has been pretty good about getting guys on campus and not letting them leave without commitments in times like this. I would expect that to be the case after what happens this weekend.
I'll raise you one, or I'll see your one, and I'll raise you another.
I'll see your – no, I'm just kidding. I think it very well could happen, though. Several guys could commit this weekend, and – I'm not going to go as far to say if it does or doesn't happen, that's the success of the weekend.
No, not at all.
But you would love to walk out of here with one or two of these guys. Definitely. There's no doubt about it. A flip in there, maybe something like that. And so, again, another big weekend happening for Auburn football recruiting on the plains with Hugh Freeze. We'll take our first break in hour number one. Phone lines are open, by the way. If you would like to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on Auburn football recruiting, Auburn baseball. We're going to talk about the offensive line coming up in just a little bit, because, or in the next segment, actually, because of something Cole Kublik said on his radio show. And talk about that. Plus, we're going to have updated NBA draft odds for Jani Broome, Tahad Petta, for what that means for the future of Auburn basketball. So come on in and be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. We'll take our first break here in hour number two on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday afternoon, a little overcast Tuesday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. It's not supposed to rain today, is it?
I was about to say, nothing's falling down. You're not allowed to have any sort of complaints about the day.
No, it's just overcast. We're good. Woo! Radar has nothing on it. And hey, it's going to be hot the next couple of days, so get ready for that.
There we go.
Yeah.
The 1.5 seasons that we see in Auburn, Alabama.
Humid, hot, miserable. Welcome to Alabama.
And
no, I'm wondering.
And freezing.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, thunderstorms and tornadoes and hurricanes, and we get it all. Snow, apparently. We got that this year, too. So, no, I ask because I'm supposed to go to Auburn High football practice for spring practice tonight, and then their spring game is this Thursday. So, by the way, if you have not heard about that, just want to give a quick shout-out for them. If you're looking for something to do this Thursday night and you want to head out to Duck Sanford Stadium, you can go and check out the spring game for Auburn High football. Coach Etheridge and the boys are going to be competing this Thursday night, not against another opponent, but they will have a new-looking format, some cool things that they're going to work into it. And so, take the family, go check it out. Go see the team for the first time. I've had a chance to go out a couple of times, and I'm telling you, this team's really talented, man. They got a lot of good dudes. And so $5 at the gate per person. Go check it out. Duck Sanford Stadium, newly renovated. They've got some new concrete poured out there, and the visitor's entrance looking really good if you haven't driven by there. So go check that out this Thursday night. I'll be there. 6 o'clock, $5 at the door at the Duck. Get in there and check out the Auburn High football spring game.
And also shout out to both softball teams as well.
Yes.
Auburn High softball and Lee Scott Academy in day one of the state tournament, or the state championship tournament Lee Scott fell in game one. Auburn High got a 1-0 win over Daphne, and they are on air right now starting game two on the winner's bracket. So as soon as this is over, flip over to 96.3 W Lee. Check out with our good buddy Jack Hudden, who's on the broadcast in Oxford, Alabama.
And then another update, just kind of as we roll through a quicker segment here on Auburn men's golf, as they wrapped up day two with a 18-stroke lead. 18-stroke lead in their own regional that they're hosting at AU Club. They shot really good yesterday.
13 under yesterday.
Yeah, only, what, 6 under today? I mean, they're, you know, drop off. They're, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's just, it's sad that they couldn't shoot,
thankfully,
you know, 25 under today. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
A 16-stroke lead. Going into
16, okay.
Going into day three.
That'll
19
play.
Under, UCLA is at 4 under, right behind them.
That will will play.
Right behind.
Right, yeah, they're right on their tail. Right on their tail. Well, so yeah, shout out to them as well. A lot of updates going on around the sports world. And so while we have a couple of minutes, and coming up, we're going to talk about the updated NBA draft board after the rigged lottery last night from the NBA, apparently.
Not apparently, yeah.
We're going to talk about that because, yes, Jani Broome also saw some videos of Dylan Cardwell working out today.
Yeah.
He looked really good, had a chance to speak with him. Was that last week? I think it was, where he was flying around and visiting different teams and stuff. But also for Todd Pettiford, because depending on where he's projected to go, he may or may not decide to go to the NBA or come back to Auburn. And so we'll have that coming up for you in just a couple of minutes. And we may not have a ton of time to talk about this. And so we may, how about this? Let's move, just between you and me, we'll move that conversation to tomorrow when we have a little bit more time. And breaking news out of the Major League Baseball world. Breaking news. The greatest commissioner in all of professional sports, Mr. Manfred from MLB, has released a statement, breaking news, that says the one and only Pete Rose has been removed, yes, removed from the banned list, has been removed from that. Why? Not because he had a change of heart, not because Manfred had a coming to Jesus. No, no. He says that he's been removed from that list because Pete Rose is no longer alive. Your thoughts on that, Christian?
Yeah, well, they also brought in other guys. Shoeless Joe Jackson.
That's a big one, too.
Is in there as well. Again, all of these that were on the banned list. It says, moreover, it's hard to conceive of a penalty that has a more deterrent effect than one that lasts a lifetime with no reprieve. And so, essentially, he said that while you're living, you're harmful to the game, but once you are no longer alive, you can no longer harm the game with what you did. And I don't know how to disagree more, at least from that statement in itself. Whether or not the argument of the ban list, that's your own opinion, but to say that what they did hurt them when they were living and playing the game, but once you pass away, that you're not harmful to the game anymore, it feels like it goes against everything that the MLB and that Manfred supposedly stands for.
Yeah, so Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson and a couple of others were removed from the permanently ineligible list, which means they are now eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame. They are now able to be voted and inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. And what's unfortunate there, and look, that's a whole conversation for a different time, of whether you think they deserve to be in there or not. But the fact of the matter that they're now able to get there when they're no longer here, I don't know. Kind of seems against the point, does it not?
I'll go accept the award on his behalf.
I bet you would. Well,
means a lot to him now.
Wanted to get that news out there again. We'll talk about the offensive line conversation from Cole Kublik probably tomorrow. But NBA draft board, we'll talk about that next, and whether Todd Pettiford plays pro or plays Auburn next year. That's coming up next.
Are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and phone lines are open. Come on in, be a part of the show, be on the line, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067, and we continue on with our just collection of topics today as we flip over to basketball, where last night, the NBA draft lottery took place, and for those who maybe aren't in tune with the professional side of things with NHL and NBA, they have it as a lottery in terms of which draft pick you get, because they do it to prevent the idea of tanking, right? To where if you're a bad team halfway through the season, you can't say, hey, let's just maybe not purposely lose the rest of our games as much as we can, but let's just not play our best players all the time. And let's just not play as hard as we possibly can. And maybe we can just get one of the better players in the upcoming draft, right? So each team gets a percentage based off of how you finished and your standings and things like that. There's a lot that goes into it. But each team literally goes into a lottery where they pick the order of the NBA draft. And that happened last night, and NBA fans are all up in arms because they believe it to be rigged, because the Dallas Mavericks, who, if you keep up with ESPN or if you listen here on ESPN radio to the national shows, they talked a lot about it, where their owner decided to trade away Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers for Anthony Davis, which seemed idiotic at the time. Dallas crumbled and didn't do anything, and they just magically, Christian, end up with the number one overall pick, and they've come out and said today, there's no doubt about it, we're picking Cooper Flagg, he's coming to Dallas, and fans are up in arms. That's not what we're talking about, but it seems to have taken the media world by storm.
Yeah, I mean, there were three teams that had a 14% chance of getting the number one overall pick. The Utah Jazz, the Washington Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets. A couple of teams were not far behind. The Pelicans with a 12.5% chance. The 76ers with a 10.5% chance. And then it continues to work its way down. Then all of a sudden you see the percentages continue to increase. But the Dallas Mavericks had a 1.8% chance of having or landing the number one overall pick. It was the most popular, where they had a 77% chance to land the 11th overall pick. But somehow they go from 11th most likely to the first overall pick. And yeah, as you mentioned, they have basically confirmed and saying that we are going to draft Cooper Flagg. We are not in any sort of discussion, or will not be in any sort of discussion for any trade-ups or anything like that. So the Mavericks go first, the Spurs go second, the 76ers go third, and ironically, the Charlotte Hornets and the Utah Jazz, who were tied for the first most likely chance, now have to settle for fourth and fifth.
Reason we bring this up is because the NBA calendar looks a little bit like this. NBA draft lottery was last night. The draft combine is going on as we speak. We talked about Dylan Cardwell. I saw some video earlier today from Jani Broome as well, getting workouts and doing the max jumps and broad jumps and doing all the workouts for the NBA teams at the draft combine. That is May 12th through the 18th. The day that Auburn fans need to know is June 15th. Because that is the last day to withdraw from the NBA draft. And after last night's NBA draft lottery, all mock drafts were updated based on the teams, where they went, who they should take, who they want to take, and things like that. Jani Broome is in there as the 37th overall pick. But the ones that Auburn fans are concerned about is Tahat Pettiford, who, according to ESPN and their updated mock draft last night following the NBA draft lottery, they have Tahat Pettiford going 39th overall, which is early second round. Question to you, Christian Griffin, is that good enough for Tahat Pettiford to not come back to Auburn and pursue a professional career?
No. And I think that is kind of the unanimous consensus right now, to where if that is all but confirmed, Tahat Pettiford will be wearing number 0 for the Auburn Tigers inside of Neville Arena this time, or I guess not this time, but next basketball season for the Auburn Tigers. You mentioned Jani Broome. He is projected now 37th to the Detroit Pistons. And then you have Tahat Pettiford right behind him at 39th, who's projected to go to the Toronto Raptors in 39th. And most of the time, with a second round pick. There is not anything confirmed. There is not, yes, you get the contract, but it is nothing guaranteed. It is not going to be the, yes, you will be one of our 12 to 15 players on every single night that will travel with us. There's so much more that goes into everything. And most of them are two-way contracts, if not G League contracts for the first year. And that is what Tahad Pettiford has vocalized that he is not wanting to see. If he could see his name or he could get a guaranteed contract and be, whether it was late first or very, very early second, and get one of those guaranteed spots, then he would talk about turning his name, or keeping his name rather, in the NBA draft. Otherwise, as he has also vocalized, and as you've seen that it is past the time, he will return and be confirmed to play for Auburn if he does return to play college basketball. I think, and as I'm sure that many of us agree selfishly and unselfishly, I don't think he's a first-round pick yet, just because I still think he's, you don't want to say underdeveloped, because I don't think that's the right word, but it's more of the upside of what you could see in year two. I've talked about it. I think he competes for the SEC Player of the Year if he returns to Auburn. I think he's a lottery pick. I think he is somebody that teams are talking about this time last night of, yes, we're pick number 11. We're getting Tahad Pettiford if he stays that long. I think that is the mentality that Tahad Pettiford has. It's the mentality that I think and I hope that Auburn fans have, because, man, you feel like right now there's still so much in the air. As much as already has been concreted, is that a right word? As much has been concrete for Auburn's basketball
run with
team
concreted. I like
next
it.
Year.
Yeah.
The point guard position is still very much in the air because Auburn has zero emphasis on that right now.
At the end of the day, I would hope that Auburn fans, as you do, as I do, want the best for Tahad Pettiford.
Yes.
Want the best for any Auburn player that goes into the NBA draft or decides to come back for another year. Because let's just look back on this for a moment. We've seen in the Bruce Pearl era, we've seen more Auburn players go and test the NBA draft and go to the NBA and test a professional career. We've seen more players in the Bruce Pearl era do it than we've ever seen in Auburn basketball history combined, right? Some have worked out, some have not. Some have gone to, so far, have good young NBA careers, and others have never broken the barrier and made it to the NBA. I mean, you go back to really that Final Four team and just kind of start from there. There were some before that, but the Final Four team is the one that really highlighted everything. Jared Harper and Bryce Brown, they're great G League players, but they've never broken an NBA roster consistently. They're great in the G League. They consistently drop 20 buckets in the G League all the time, but they aren't able to get to the next level. You look at Sharif Cooper, who got bad information, who was told he was going to be a lottery pick, who was told he was going to get big money and then plummeted and has yet to break the NBA barrier. And you look at some guys who left too early like him, who I think could have used another year. I think Sharif could have used another year. I think JT Thor could have used another year. Chuma was out of eligibility, right? I can't remember if he had one more year or not, but he was dealing with the injury stuff, yes, but he has struggled to make a consistent NBA career. Isaac, I think, had to go because of him being a lottery pick. I mean, he ended up being a top five pick in the NBA draft, but those types of guys, it's so hard to make it in the pros. And I'm a firm believer, especially in today's game of college basketball with the NIL world like it is, coming back for another year of college basketball is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's not this bad idea that everybody makes it out to be because, oh, well, what if you get injured? I mean, what if a shark comes out and bites your leg when you're swimming in the beach over the summer and you never get to play basketball again? Well, God's got a plan, is the way I look at it. And you can't live your life in fear if it could end up being better for you in the long run. Sharif Cooper needed another year of college basketball. JT Thor needed another year of college basketball. Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler, no sir. You guys were good. Go do your thing, and you are doing your thing in legitimate NBA rosters and having legitimate playing time.
Free Jabari, by the way.
Yeah, free Jabari. Get our boy out of there, man. He needs somewhere else to go. Houston's a AAU team. Tahad Pettifer falls into the category that Sharif Cooper did. They have a legitimate opportunity to be really good basketball players at the next level, but Tahad Pettifer needs another year.
You look at what some of these teams were doing this time last year. I guess the players that were getting drafted right around these same spots. Anywhere from 37th to right around 42nd. So a six or a seven spots getting drafted in the second round all had about the same salary that they were gifted based off of whether it was 2 years guaranteed, whether you signed a two-year contract. But a majority of these were 4 years, $7.895 million, and the first 2 years are guaranteed. Third year is up in the air. A fourth year is a team option. So you're basically saying that, well, if you sign a four-year deal, you're not making $2 million per year.
Yeah.
And if you go and you sign that, that's essentially what you are living off of if you are playing in the G League. I'll say it how it is. Tahad Pettiford returning to Auburn would make more than that in 1 year. All of that in 1 year, but taking out the $4 million, he would make more than the whatever one point whatever that it was scheduled to be.
It makes basketball sense, and for him, it makes financial sense. And that's what I'm saying with this whole NIL idea.
Yes.
Is he can make a good amount of money as a sophomore in college and make more money most likely than he could in the G League, and he's going to develop, and he's going to be the best player on the team next year. And look at it from selfishly, just from the Auburn perspective here for a second, on a roster that I think we can agree is very talented that Auburn has put together through the transfer portal and through high school recruiting, but there's no certainty, is that the word, comfortability? There's no familiarity with this roster next year. Tahad Pettiford would
going,
give you
keep
that.
Keep going.
That's all I got. Yeah, that's all I got. Only one cup of coffee today. Tahad Pettiford would bring all of that together. Tahad Pettiford on Auburn's team next year would make me feel so much more comfortable going into the season, would give me so much more confidence, would make me so much more excited. Not that I'm not, but Tahad Pettiford raises that bar. He raises that level. Tahad Pettiford makes Auburn basketball next year a legitimate SEC title contender once again. Tahad Pettiford makes Auburn basketball next year a team that can make another run to the Final Four.
You want to know what Tahad Pettiford is for Auburn basketball? He's a quarterback for Auburn football.
No doubt about it.
Where you have all of the talent around it, but up until Jackson Arnold Deuce Knight, it was, all right, you have everybody else that you need, but how comfortable can you feel with the ball in whoever the quarterback is going to be hands? Same thing with Auburn basketball this upcoming year. Who is going to be the point guard? Who is going to be that quarterback? Right now, you feel great. Again, making the Auburn basketball to Auburn football comparisons. You have the receiver of Keyshawn Hall and Keyshawn Murphy. You have Overton. You have Bashir that you can throw it out to on the wings in the slots that can run the go routes and shoot it from deep. Again, trying to make the two for two. But who's gonna get it to him? Who's going to be the guy that marches you down the length of the field? Who's going to be the guy that you trust under 2 minutes with the ball in his hands? The answer is Tahad Pettiford. And that's if he comes back to Auburn, he will be the captain. He will be the go-to guy, and he will be the guy that you feel so comfortable with the ball in his hands anytime down the stretch.
And I've genuinely believe that he could use another year in college for him, for his NBA outlook, because what's been the key thing that everybody's talked about with Tahad Pettiford that could hold him back in the NBA?
His height.
His size, right? It's the fact that he's not tall enough. It's the thing that held Jared Harper out, because Jared Harper drops 20 points every night in the G League, but never gets a shot at the NBA because he's undersized. Well, Tahad Pettiford's not massive, but he's not tiny either. But Tahad Pettiford's a dude, and he gets buckets and makes the right decisions. But the times that he didn't, you can correct that with one more year in college at Auburn. Under Bruce Pearl, under Stephen Pearl, under this coaching staff, it just makes sense. And by no means are we ones to sit here and say we know best. To Todd Pettiford, if you're listening, you should just take our advice and we'll just take 5% and move on. No, I'm kidding. I just think for all, maybe, I think for all parties, it just makes the most sense. Now, I will say, I've seen draft boards after last night, Yahoo Sports, the one in particular,
yes,
that have Todd Pettiford as high as 26th in the NBA draft, 25th, apologies, in the NBA draft. If he were to break into the first round, I think he would consider it. But again, the calendar that you need to know, the combine's going on right now. The draft is on June 25th and 26th. June 15th is the day, is the last day to withdraw from the NBA draft, to take your name out of the NBA draft. My prediction, Todd Pettiford will do it before then. My prediction is that Todd Pettiford is an Auburn Tiger again next year. And I think that's the best for all parties. And I really hope that that's the case, and I think Auburn fans do too. We'll take our final break here in hour number two. Come back and wrap it all up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today. If you have missed any of it here during the last 2 hours, we recommend that you go and catch up with the podcast. You can find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We've talked Auburn baseball today, as the Tigers take on Jack State tonight over at Plainsman Park, the home regular season finale, but don't think it's going to be the last game at Plainsman Park this season. So that's going to be taking place 6 o'clock tonight over there. If you can't make it out, you can catch the radio broadcast with Andy Burcham and John Cohen, the athletic director, on the broadcast tonight. So check that out on Wings 94.3, our sister station next door. Check that out, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com. Pregame starts at 5:45, so we talked about that today. Also had Eric Guevara join us on the show, the SEC Player of the Week, National Player of the Week, the sophomore from Auburn Baseball was with us, so that was really cool. Also talked big recruiting weekend for Auburn football coming up, and then the NBA draft with Todd Pettiford, Jani Broome in mock drafts, and Dylan Cardwell working out for them as well. So all of that here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. If you missed it, go check it out, ESPNAU.com.
And they've gone final over at the AU Club. Auburn finishes 19 under par on, not on day two, but so far in the three-day tournament. Safe to say they have a couple strokes to work with.
I've understood that. I've shot 19 under before.
Yeah. 19, and then you went and played holes 3, 4, and 5, and then kept going.
Yeah.
No, but Auburn 19 under par as the number one team in the country. 12th ranked Texas A&M. Closely behind at 1 under par. So as long as Auburn is one of the top 5.
So you're saying they have a chance.
They do. They have a chance to go and play in Carlsbad, California for the chance to go back to back. Jackson Koivin is tied for first. He shot 7 under par, 5 under yesterday, 2 under today. And right now, if you're Auburn, I mean, you're laying up on everything. You are not taking any sort of chances. I mean, you're just playing your home course on a normal any other day afternoon, and how nice of a chance is it that Auburn is, again, as we mentioned, has the chance to go back-to-back. All 2 NBA games in action tonight as well. The Pacers and Cavaliers. Indiana trying to wrap it up in 5 with Donovan Mitchell as a game-time decision. The Cavaliers in desperation mode at home. Should be a whole lot of fun. Cleveland's an 8.5-point favorite. I wonder if that is with or without Mr. Donovan Mitchell.
That game's in Cleveland.
It is. And then the nightcap, Nuggets and Thunder. This game, or this series, tied at 2. Oklahoma City, 9.5-point favorites, man. I feel like it's so hard to go against the Joker. Go against the Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, it's NBA playoffs have been fun. I have to admit, they've been a lot of fun. And so has Auburn High School softball, which is happening right now over on 96.3 WLE with our friend Jack Cudden. They won game 1 against Daphne in the state tournament, 1-0 in a barn burner. Tied at 3 with Sparkman in game 2. That game is in the third inning. So flip on over, 96.3 WLE on the Auburn High Sports Network. Jumping Jack Cudden's over there. Winner of that game gets the winner center of Central Phoenix City and Tuscaloosa County. So flip on over 963WLEE.com or 963 on your radio dial. We are back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.